Mishnah in Yuma, beginning of Perek Bomo Kangaro. The last Perek in Yuma has the dinim of Yom Kippurim that apply to Zman Hazeh. That's the eighth Perek. And the seventh Perek is Bomo Kangaro, described by the Kangaro in the middle of the state of Avodah when to read Kriyas HaTorah. Kangaro on Yom Kippur has to lane Parshas Achrei Moitzeh. Rashi on that Mishnah, on Samaches on the base, points out that this is a din deraisa, that the Kriyas HaTorah on the part of the Kangaro on Yom Kippur is a din deraisa, because we learn out from the Miluim. Kasharasa b'yom hazeh tziva Hashem lasas b'chaper aleichem, means the same way the Kohanim had to have Prisha Shiva, Aaron of Onav had to be Purshim, Sovet Baal Moyed, during the Shiva Simanimum, so too tziva Hashem lasas b'chaper aleichem. So the Gemara says lasas refers to Maisa Paraduma, b'chaper aleichem refers to Avedas Yom Kippur. So that's the source. The Gemara in the beginning of Yuma has a machlek to Bechem Mishlokish. What is the mark of the thing that the Kangaro has to be Parish Shiva? Has to have Prisha Shiva before the Avedas Yom Kippur, a week before. So one opinion in the Gemara is that it's learned out from Kashuas of Yom HaZad Tziv Hashem Lassus L'chaper Aleichem. The other Mandam in the Gemara learns it out from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, before he entered Har Sinai, had it by Chasei Hanan Shivas Yom. First he was in Hanan for 7 days, and then he entered into the Harotho, and he got the Torah from the Rabbi Shalom for 40 days. The Rashi points out here that since you're learning out from Miluim, and by Miluim, the Gemara said the Ferish on Dafei, and the first Terek in Yuma, that there was a requirement for Kriyas HaParsha also. It's an interesting thing. When they did the Shiva Zimea Miluim, putting up the Mishkan, taking down the Mishkan every day, getting ready for the final construction of the Mishkan, so it was required that they had to lay in the Kriyas HaParsha of the Miluim. That's what the Gemara says, the Zivin HaMachloikes HaMaroim. Rashi alludes to it here on Samachet and Beis. It's even a Machloikes HaMaroim, whether the Kriyas HaParsha was Me'akeves or not. So in the Miluim. So in Yom Kippur, you learn out from the Miluim, not only that you need Prisha Shiva, but that you need Kriyas HaParsha as well. The Mishnah in Saito has a Perek Eila Nemar, but lists off which mitzvahs of Kriya have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew. The duchening has to be in Hebrew. If the kohen does not Hebrew, he can't duchen in Russian, he can't duchen in French, he can't duchen in Yiddish or English. That's the same original Hebrew. And there are chalitza, the kriyas of psukim and chalitza has to be in the original Hebrew. And other things, bechut hamazon and kriyashma machloek satanoim, we pass and you can fulfill kriyashma even in translation as long as it's a correct, accurate, literal translation. You can't just say, we believe in one God and we love God, and you have to say a translation of the original. It has to be kichtovoi. Like this is whether you're Yotzik Yichtav or you're in translation or not. So the Mishnah lists off which things have to be said in the original Hebrew to be considered Yichtav, which mitzvah Samira can be said in translation and also is considered Yichtav. So what about Birchas HaTorah? Let that person get an Aliyah, it's going to say Birchas HaTorah in translation. So the Pashto says that all davening and all Birchas HaMazon and all prophets, Kiddush and Altav, everything you can say in translation. The Mishnah says that Kengod Lan Yom Kippur, when he says the Brachas over the Kriyas HaTorah, has to be in Hebrew. You're not Yaitse if he says it in another language. See, it's a special din of Kriyas HaTorah. It's not the regular takanas from all year long, Shabbos, Yom Kippur, Shkodesh. No. The Kriyas Kangar LaYom Kippur is a special takanas. Special, it's not a takanas. It's a din deraisa. The Gemara learns it out from the Miluim. And by the Miluim, it's as far as it is even market. Machlokes in the Gemara, what is market. So that's what we today have the... It's not a minik, it's a real din. We today have the Kriyas HaTorah of the Achrei Mois. We don't have the Kengodol Zavayda, but we have the Kriya of the Parshas Achrei Mois on Yom Kippur. Not this Shabbat. On Yom Kippur we lay in Achrei Mois. We lay in Achrei Mois for two reasons. Number one, on the Neshama Farnes Rosbeinu. But for the purpose of an Neshama Farnes Rosbeinu, you could be Yoyte by Davening Musaf. And you say the Seder HaVayda, but we lay in the Kriyas HaTorah to make a zecher to the fact that the Kriyas HaTorah, HaYidei Kohen Gadol, was a special Kiyum Deraisa on Yom HaKippurim. The Pasuk says that when the Kohen Gadol was... doing the Avodah on Yom Kippurim, he doesn't wear the Shemoneh Bogadim. He wears Ksonis Bad Kodesh Yilbosh Mitzvah Sefad Yehi Wal Besor Vapne Bad Yaakov Mitzvah Bad Yitzmol. Everything is Big Day Pishtim. He only wears Big Day Kohen Hedyot. He doesn't wear Big Day Kohen Gadol. Special Big Day Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippurim. It wasn't regular Big Day Kohen Hedyot. It was special because it had to be Dafke Bad. So they quote in one of the Sforim in the name of the Vilna Gaon, they have the Kol Aliyah, the Divrei Aliyah, all the different Sforim that they quote, the Likutim from the Vilna Gaon. So they quote that in Aremes, he said, that in Yeredeya, there's this, the beginning of the second Chelik Yeredeya, right before Hilchas Nido. So you have the Dinim of Loisa Nachashu, Veloz Te'aneinu, Veloz Te'akifu, Pias Rosh Chem, all the Dinim from Parashas Kedoshim appear in the beginning of the second Chelik Yeredeya. So in Loisa Nachashu, Veloz Te'aneinu, you're not permitted to do Nichush or Loz Te'aneinu. Ona means as man. So you're not allowed to say, oh, Friday the 13th is an unlucky day, so I better not go to the office. That's to say that there are certain zmanim that are luckier than other zmanim. The Gemara says that some zmanim are luckier than others. The Gemara says that Chodesh Adar, when you have a confrontation between a Yisrael and an Achris, the Chodesh Adar is Bar Yamazla the Yisrael. So it's like a lucky month for the Jewish people. Chodesh Av is bad mazel for the Jewish people if we're coming in confrontation with Nachrim. But other than that, Friday the 13th doesn't mean anything. Yeah, the rest of the year doesn't mean anything. It says in the Gemara. So the Gemara had a tradition that Bar Yamazle and the Jewish Mazle is weaker. But other than that, there's an Yitzur of Los Aneinu. And then Los Anachshu is not to do Dvorim Shal Nichush, not to say Tzvihi Tzikoi Baderech. I already forgot all the American traditions. What do they have here? A black cat walking under a ladder, well, whatever. All of them. One is worried about these things in violation of Leitha Nachshon. So the Rishonim quote that there was a practice that some people had that when they would determine the wedding date, they would only get married in the beginning of the month when the moon is getting bigger and bigger, to, as a simon that their love should grow. The marriage should be happy. Marriage, the love should grow, and not to get married in the end of the month when the moon is shrinking. There's different practices. What's called the end of the month, from the middle of the midpoint on, is called the end of the month, or mamish the end. The middle couple of days, you can't really notice that it's getting smaller. Maybe it's only after the 20th of the month or something like that. So they have you're hoping by getting married, so you'll see already. It's not so. Even though it's on Machmas, it's not so strict. But some Rishonim help. In Mukhi Yosef and Sanhedrin quotes, when the Gemara has the dinam of Loisa Nachshu, Loisa Aneinu, here it's in Sanhedrin, no. Samaches, Samadeis. One of the things the Gemara has Loisa Nachshu is Tzvihi Stiko Badera, that if a deer ran in front of you, and there are people who are mamish choshish for that, the stuff mamish, but the Gemara says that that's the Yisra, you're not allowed to be choshish for that. There are people, there were religious people who are choshish for that, because Rabbi Yura Chosid writes that in the Sefer Hasidim. Takapella and Abdullah Chosid. How can he write such a thing? I don't know. Some of them are some kind of a terrorist, but whatever. But Parshim Shat Nechumish in the Gemara is that that's exactly the issue they write, that you're not allowed to be concerned about such a thing. That you were driving on a highway and you had to stop your car because there was a deer in front of you. So you're not supposed to take a thought? Does it mean anything with anything? No. So the Nebuki Yosef in Sanhedrin on that Gemara, Samachas, thought that there are some Rishonim who held that you're not permitted to have such a practice, to be didactic about getting married at the beginning of the month, the end of the month, the whole thing was not garnished. That's a violation of Loisa Aneinu. And then the Nebuki Yosef is miyashiv it a little bit, so he says, no, it's not really an issue. You're not really makpid so much that if you can't rent a hall for the beginning of the month, so you wait another 3 months later. No, when you're picking the date, so you have three halls. So you try to pick the beginning of the month, and if you can't get it here, you get it there. If you can't get it there, get it another hall. A big deal. You get married a month earlier. But talk to postpone the wedding for half a year just because you can't get the beginning of the month, that would talk to be a violation of Los Aneinu. But if you do it just the simon type of the Alma as a nice simon, so that the Gemara says in Hiriyas and increases that is permissible. The Gemara says that when they used to be Moshech Malachim, when they used to anoint a new king, a Moshech Malachim El Agabi Hanar, they would anoint the king by the river as a simon type, as a simon yofe. That just like the river flows, so the kingdom should flow. You should have a long kingdom. And the Gemara says that's why on Rosh Hashanah we eat apples dipped in honey. The Gemara doesn't say an apple dipped in honey. The Gemara says you should eat sweet fruits on Rosh Hashanah, and you shouldn't eat anything sour, and you should eat fruits or vegetables whose names have something to do with making money or striking a rich, a happiness or whatever, cheer. In Europe they used to eat fruits or vegetables that had a meaning in Yiddish because they spoke Yiddish. In America you should eat things that have a connotation of happiness or a fuwa or so on based on the English language, whatever, in every country, whatever whatever language is spoken. So the Gemara says that that's not a violation of los anachashu, that's not nichush, because you're only doing it with simentai b'yam. So there's nothing wrong with making a simentai. So that's what the Nebuki Yesu says in Ishgefela. That if you're makbira, a little bit makbira, and getting married at the beginning of the month, so the world doesn't come to the end. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I happen to have gotten married the end of the month. I got married the end of Cheshvan. A lot of people don't want to get married in Cheshvan because Cheshvan doesn't have any holidays. I think that's why it's called Mar Cheshvan something. Why is it called Mar? It's the bitter month that doesn't have any holidays. Everybody else says it's called Mar Cheshvan because Mar means a drop. Hang in. Imar Midli, a drop in the bucket, Imar Midli is a pasuk. The Cheshvan starts to rain. Mishnah says in Tainus that it doesn't rain, but it says in Dek Mecheshvan then you have to be going to Tainus. But that's usually assumed to be the reason that, some say that that's the reason why it's called Mar Cheshvan, a drop. Others say in Gansan a different time. And some say because it's the bitterest month in the Jewish calendar because you don't have any holidays. And some have meaning not to get married in Cheshvan, some have meaning not to get married at the end of a month. But if you can't, so you can't. So, the halls are cheaper then because no one's renting. They say it's up $1,000, so it's also a consideration. So in the Shulchan Aruch in the other day, the Mechaber quotes, there are some who are, in the Siman of Lef Nachshav Lotan, he quotes that there are some who are makpid not to start a project on a Monday or a Wednesday. Why? What's wrong with a Monday or Wednesday? So the Taz explains that there's the kitzur over there. What it's all about, that there's some kind of a concept that the Gemara has that the mazolas are sholei different hours of the day. The Monday and Wednesday of every week, the days begin with a miserable mazel. So these are unlucky days. What do you mean they're unlucky days? What kind of baloney is that? So there's absolutely nothing wrong with starting a project on Monday or Thursday. But the simon the almost the sama makbid in order to have a simon time, so they don't want to do it with a simon with a bad simon. They would prefer to do it with a simon rock. That's why the yeshiva always starts the day after Labor Day. Labor Day is always on Monday. We always start on a Tuesday. We don't want Khalilah to start on a Monday or Wednesday. So the only line is quoted as having made a remez that by medvam amurim, even if you want the Vilna Gaon over there tells you to look in the Zohar. He writes, I and Zoyar, Parshas Pinchas or something, on that day's Dalit. And the Mechaber in Hilchus Lois Nachshav Lois Anenu says that there are some who are makbid not to start any project on a Monday or Thursday, and others hold that it's prohibited to be makbid about this. So the Lone Gaon writes, I and Zoyar. I didn't look it up, but I think usually I and means that it says Haker. Usually when he gives a mocker, he says, Zohar, Taisus, Gemara. He says, Ayin Shach, Ayin Taz, Ayin means that look over there and it says that it's wrong. So I didn't look. I imagine the Zohar probably says that you're not allowed to be medactic about this. But anyway, here, they quote in the name of the Vilna Gaon, a remez on the pasuk, that even those who want to be medactic about the base and dalit, not to start a project on Monday or Wednesday, doesn't apply to learning in the yeshiva. Only applies to secular projects. The Farm Shal Mitzvah doesn't apply because it says, Bas Kodesh, Yilbash, Beis Dalit. If the Beis Dalit is a Monday and the Wednesday is a Davish Shal Kedusha, then the whole Kepeda doesn't apply. I read it. I'm good. Got to take a look in the Zohar to see exactly what it says there. The Mishnah has a din in the beginning of Yuma that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to be married, because it says, Zechipa Bado Abiyad Beis, the Beis of Ishto. And it says only Bayisach and Velo Shnei Bat. The Gemara says in Yuma and Daf Yud Gimel, an explanation of the Mishnah, that the Kohen Gadol can only be has to be married, he can't be single, and he has to be married only to one wife, he can't be married to two wives. What happens if his wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur? So what does he do? So Agantha Machlekes, Bavli and Yerushalmi, how do you deal with it? Yerushalmi says that he'll get married on Yom Kippur to the second wife. and shvus b'mikdash if you need it for the purpose of the avodah. Although it's forbidden with the rabbanon, ain't noisim noshim. You're not allowed to get married on Shabbos with the rabbanon. You're not allowed to get married on Yontif min haTorah. On Yontif and Chalamoid, you used to get married is min haTorah. Ain't married simcha b'simcha. On Shabbos, you used to get married is only with the rabbanon. We spoke about it once. No, the Henry Kissinger got married to the shiksa on Shabbos. His father said shiv and the mother went to the wedding. To live here in the name. So, because the sheikh said the Kedushim one person anyway, so it wasn't even on the Issa Rabbanan. It wasn't even an Issa de Rabbanan. So he would have gotten married on Yom Tov, it would have been an Issa de Raita, he married to Mechim Chashab, it's only the Rabbanan. But it was an Achir, so it wasn't Chal. So the Yishalmi says that if the wife dies in the middle of Yom Kippur, she marries herself another wife and starts again Shurus HaMikdash. You're only dealing with an Issa de Rabbanan. And he can't say Marim Simcha B'Simcha, he needs it for the purpose of the Avodah, it's necessary. And the Bavli makes a whole calculation how he should marry the second wife on Erev Yom Kippur, Allah Tanai, and give a get, Allah Tanai, and whole business, and in order to make sure that he's only married to one wife. He should not be married to two wives. The Rambam has a machlokes with the Rav in Hilchos Yisurei Bia. The Rambam holds that this din applies all year long, because God is not allowed to have two wives. And the Rav says no. The Rav says that's only a din on Yom Kippur. There's nothing wrong if all year long he has two wives. It just doesn't make sense. What's he going to do on Erev Yom Kippur? He's going to have to divorce one of the wives. So why should she ever marry him in the first place? Why should the girl agree to marry Kain Rav if she has to get divorced before Yom Kippur is going to come? But just theoretically speaking, the Rav says there's no prohibition all year long. And the Rambam says no, that there is a prohibition. So the Pashtus is, according to the Rambam, the Pashtus is that these are, Lachar, one should have said that these are two unrelated halachas. Learn that from two different psukim. Who isha be v'sulei ha'yikach? It says that the Kohen Gadol in Parshas Emor, it says the Kohen Hegel is not going to marry Grusha Zayin of a Halala, but an Almana he may marry. The Kohen Gadol is not permitted to marry an Almana, but who? So who does he marry? Who isha be v'sulei ha'yikach? So the Parshas Pshat is isha. Well, I stay in Hashem. You learn that from that Parshas, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives all year long. That's the marker for the Rambam. And then the din that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur can't do the Avodah with two wives, the Parshas says that's a different unrelated din. Just because the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives all year long wouldn't necessarily mean that he would pass all the Avodah. And he learned out a different thing. Chita Bada Biad Beisa, he has to be married. And if he's not married, some Hashanim say the Avodah is possible. The place is Hisharim on the first daf on Beis Amid Aleph and Yuma has 2 days about that. But if the Kohen Gadol is single, he's not married at all, would the Avodah be possible for the Eved, or is this holding only Lahat Chiba? So one day is that it passes for the Eved. If all the passes for the Eved, Mistam, the other way also passes for the Eved. If he has two wives, it says Ba'ad Oliyad Beisai, Ba'is Dechad V'lo Shtei Batim. So this halacha that apostles B'diyevah, that would be possible B'diyevah, L'chari, is unrelated to the fact that the Rambam holds it all year long, he's not allowed to be married to two wives. Zelachud, Zelachud, just because he's over and Aver and marrying two wives, wouldn't necessarily follow that the Avodah would be possible. It's two different psukim and two different deities. One would have said like that. You look in the Rambam, you see it's not so. The Rambam puts the two together. The Rambam writes explicitly. And we explain that the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to have two wives, and that's why the Avodah on Yom Kippur cannot be done with if he's married to two wives. But the Rambam that this puts the two together, that they are related. It's really a surprising Rambam. One would have not thought like that. One would have thought that they're totally unrelated. The Rambam writes that they are connected. I saw just this morning a very interesting shaila in a new sefer that came out on Chumash by Talmud Chacham from Eretz Yisrael. What's the din if a Kohen marries an Almona and then the Kohen Gadol dies and they want to appoint him to the job? So does he have to get divorced from his wife? Because the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an Almona. So the Mishnah says in Yevamos that he doesn't have to get divorced. Mishnah and Samach Aleph and Aleph. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry Almona if he marries her while he's a Kohen Gadol. But if he married already Behetzer before he was appointed to be a Kohen Gadol, and then they appoint him, so the Gemara has the expression, Hail the Ishtariah. Ishtariah, since he married a Beheter, so he can remain with his wife. He can remain Beheter with the wife. That's the din of Hail the Ishtariah, Ishtariah. If the Tchilas or Ishus, he married Beheter, so he can remain married with your wife. So what would be the din over here? The same thing, the Kohen marries two wives. Before the Chaim, the Rabbi Negesh. After the Chemi Rabbein Gersh, he's astarded, he's man of them. The Kohen married two wives. They built a Beis HaMikdash today. They want to appoint this guy as the Kohen Gadol. So you say he can't appoint him. You'll appoint him as the Kohen Gadol. You say he has to divorce one wife. No, it should be the same. Well, he married a Beheta. So would you say that he can do the Avodah and Yom Kippur also with the two wives? So I would have said, absolutely not. I would have thought that these two dinim are unrelated. The din of the Kohen Gadol, the Rambam's opinion. The Rav says that it's not correct. The Rambam's opinion that the Kohen Gadol is not permitted to have two wives all year long. That comes out from a different pasuk in Parshas Semar. Who isha, who is la yikach isha v'lo ishtei noshim. And in Dinan at Yom Kippur, you can only have one wife. This is a pasuk and mishnah. It's a different and unrelated. So when it comes Yom Kippur, the poor guy has to divorce his wife or give up his position. Either the wife or the job, one or the other. You can't have both. That's what I would have thought. But if you look, but if the Rambam puts the two together and he says that they're identical, that the reason why the Kohen Gadol can't do the Avodah Yom Kippur is because of the Yisur, so that might perhaps lead one to believe that if it's a situation of holy Ishtar Ishtar, you married the two wives of the Hetzer from before, that he can do the Avodah also with the two wives. Maybe. This is what the Talmud Chacham raises the possibility. Maybe. It doesn't say, not discussed anywhere. It's an interesting shayla. And Yom Kippur, this is a special thing. You have to have the Hagrola, the Soy Hashem and the Soy Azazel. What does the expression mean, Lifnei Hashem? The Mincha Chinuch points out. I remember Rav Soloveitchik told us over this Mincha Chinuch, and then I found later on, years later, I found Mincha Chinuch really exists. Rav Soloveitchik used to know the Mincha Chinuch very well. He once, I mentioned, I think, he once told over some of his students that when he was a little child, before Bar Mitzvah, his mother would tell him to go to sleep, and he would sneak in and read books under the blanket. So what was he reading under the blanket? Mincha Chinuch. He says he finished the Mincha Chinuch before his Bar Mitzvah. I think that's what he wants to say. From sneaking it in at night under the blanket. So the Mincha Chinuch points out that the expression Lifnei Hashem appears in Tanakh with three different meanings. Sometimes it has the connotation of in the Azor, sometimes it has the connotation of in the Harabayis, and sometimes it has the connotation of in Yerushalayim. Sometimes it's just, and there's a fourth connotation, sometimes it just means that you daven Lifnei Hashem, you can daven in New York also Lifnei Hashem. None of the other three, that's a different. But when it appears in connection with the Mikdosh, like it says, V'chalta v'sham Lifnei Hashem v'lakecha ma'isa d'gonecha v'siroshi v'tzirach v'choret v'kocha v'tzenecha. The ma'isa sheni in Kachim Kalim is eaten in Yerushalayim. So there Lifnei Hashem v'lakecha, V'chalta v'sham Lifnei Hashem v'lakecha means in Yerushalayim. Then the other pasuk says, V'shochat es ben adboka Lifnei Hashem, that the shechit of Karbon should be done in the Azor. So Lifnei Hashem there means in the Azor. And then the Mincha Chinuch points out, let's remember that when the Rav said it over, when he used to, every year before Rosh Hashanah, he would give shiur on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, on Sukkot, on Yom Yonadiyam. But when Mikdosh, it says that on Rosh Hashanah, they used to blow shofar and chatzaitzus. Chutz l'Mikdosh, you only blow shofar. And on the Tainus Tibur, chutz l'Mikdosh, you only blow chatzaitzus. The Mishnayis have in the Tainus. And in Rosh Hashanah, they only blow chatzaitzus. Mitzvah gives chatzaitzus. Why don't we blow chatzaitzus? A big question, why? It's very unclear why we don't do it. The Magen Mishnah discusses it. Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it. Somebody asked him, why don't we blow chatzaitzus? So chutz l'mikdosh on a tiny sea with an interest to blow chatzaitzus. Chisav v'mechavam v'yatzachem. It's a pasuk in where? Mahaloyzach, I think. Chisav v'mechavam v'yatzachem. Ala atar asar es mahariyaz v'chatzaitzim. It's a kaitim of Nei Hashem v'kechem. The noshatim v'yayvim. It's a mitzvah in atayra. Blow chatzaitzus v'yayt tzorah. Question whether a tiny seba should be an ace star? And the Mishnah says that a mikdash and a tiny seba they blow both shofar and chatzaitzus. So the Gemara explains what kind of a din is that? That a mikdash, whenever you blow one, you have to blow the other, you have to blow both together. So the Gemara says it's based on a pasuk in Tehillim. Chatzaitzus, we call shofar, you're lifnei HaMelech Hashem. When you're lifnei HaMelech Hashem, then you have to have both together. You have to have the chatzaitzus with the kol shofar. Doesn't mean that absolutely every time you blow chatzaitzus. Sometimes the levin used to blow chatzaitzus for musical purposes, and they didn't blow shofar with it. Basem says tzakash on erchem, on gemara erchem. If the gemara rosh hashanah learns out from the pasuk, whatever you have one, you have to have the other in the beis hamikdash. So how come when the levin was blowing trumpets, they didn't blow shofar also for the musical accompaniment to the shir shalom? So I don't think it gives an answer. So I remember we said in yeshiva, we suggested a teretz to the Sfasemis' kasha that maybe when you want to have pleasant sounding music, so you have to ask a musician what blends in. If the shofar doesn't blend in, so you're not going to be mekalkal the music. That zeres hakosav, a chatzaitzus called shofar, only means the following. When you're blowing the shofar or the chatzaitzra for the purpose of filo, that it's a chelik of the tefillah, the tkiyah shofar on Rosh Hashanah is in the middle of the Chazaras Hashach, middle of the davening, and some Rishonim Rashi seems to hold that that's a din d'oraisa, that the tkiyahs have to be done in conjunction with the malchus zechanah shofar. Or if not, it's the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan HaKadosh disagrees with the Rashi, holds only the Rabbanan on Parshat Pinchas, on Parshat Emor. So it's the Rabbanan. Or on Tainus Dibu, when you blow the Chatzos, if you blow off in the middle of Chazaras Hashach. So the Ramban and the Mohammed and Rosh Hashanah explains that the purpose of the Tkiyah, Shofar and Rosh Hashanah and the Chatzos and Santayna Sibur is to enhance the davening, to elevate it to the level of the Zaakah. Not only Tfilah, it's a Zaakah, it's like a crying, a wailing sound. So in Beis HaMikdash, the basic is Tfilah Yikorei, the Beis HaMikdash is the base Tfilah. Whenever you daven, you're supposed to face the Beis HaMikdash. That's the official office where all of the prayers are offered. Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the Beis Rishon, said everybody should daven in the Beis HaMikdash, facing the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis HaTfilah. So there the pasuk says that whenever you have one, you should have the other. Whenever it's a Zaakah, so you should have a real Zaakah, Chatzot is Vikol Shofar, a real of Ne'am Melech Hashem. But when the Levim used to play music, and they wanted to have a pleasant orchestra that it should sound good, and the Chatzot blended in, and the Shofar didn't blend in. So you don't blow Shofar. There's no requirement for Shofar over there. There the Chatzot is done for the sake of music, not for the sake of Zaakah to enhance the tzimum. But there the Menachem Chinah points out that the Gemara says that one of the Tanoim who lived in Tzipori or in Tveria, I forget, after the Chuban Bayis Sheni, also wanted to institute that they should blow on Rosh Hashanah, Shofar and Chatzotzer. So the Tanoim said no. Lo Yomer Kein Elo Bahara Bayis Bilvad Shenera V'Chatzotzer is called Shofar Hariyo Lefnei Melech Hashem. It's only Lefnei Melech Hashem. So you see from the Gemara in Yerushalayim, Chutz LYerushalayim, not even in Yerushalayim, not only in Har HaBayis in the Azor. But the Gemara says that sometimes the expression Lifnei Hashem has the connotation of Har HaBayis. Sometimes it means Azor, sometimes it means Yerushalayim, sometimes it means Har HaBayis. Sometimes it means Stam, like the Rambam has a machlokes with the Ravid on a din d'oraisa regarding what? Regarding Vidui Meister. On Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year, just passed, and Erev Pesach of the fourth year, in the Shemitah year, there's a mitzvah of biur, you have to get rid of all of the trumas and mitzvahs, whatever you have around the house, and then you have to recite, if you can say it with honesty, the Yad Yakodesh Ben Abayis, I did everything, Asisik Choshet, no, that's the mikra bikur. You got to say that you did whatever it says there in the parasha of Vidui Meister. But there it says, V'yamaita, how does it say? By bikur it says, V'yanisa Maita of Nehashem Oket, but how does it say here? The idea of Kodesh Menabayis. It also has an expression, Lifnei Hashem. But there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid on the mitzvah of Vidui Meiser, whether that's in Hilchos Meiser Sheni, the machlekes is. Machlekes on a din d'oraisa, does that mean that the Vidui Meiser has to be recited in the Azorah? Or wherever the farmer happens to be. He can be in New York for Pesach. And he can still say the Vidui Meiser. He's talking to Rabban Shlom. Lifnei Hashem Okefa. That's Machloikas said, sometimes Lifnei Hashem doesn't mean any of the above. Doesn't mean Azara, doesn't mean Harbayis, doesn't mean Yerushalayim. Why should it mean Azara, Harbayis, and Yerushalayim? Because these are three different levels of Kedusha's Beit HaMikdash. Lifnei Hashem means in the Beit HaMikdash, the Beit Hashem, and the Harabayis is a lower level of Kedusha's Beit HaMikdash, and Yerushalayim is a lower level of Kedusha's Beit HaMikdash. The Mishnah and Caleb list off, as the Kedusha saying, there are 10 levels of Kedusha's Beit HaMikdash. Azor is one level, Harabayis is another level, and Yerushalayim is another level. So here, the Pashto says, it says that the Kohen Gadol has to take the Shnei Atzirim, the Hemed Oisim, Lifnei Hashem, Pesach HaMoed, so the Pashto says that the Shnei Atzirim have to be in the Azor. That's what it says in the Mishnah Yuma. The Shnei Atzirim should be Lifnei Hashem here. And this pasuk has the connotation of in the Azor. Like all the Avodas that he's going to do later, all the Avodas have to be done in the Azor. So this is also treated a little bit like an Avodah. The Gemara has a machlokes whether Hagrol is an Avodah or not. So it's something like an Avodah. Even if it's not an Avodah, something like an Avodah has to be done in the Azor. That's what it says in the Mishnah. In the Torah's Kohanim, it says the Heminos and Lufnei Hashem Bishar Nikanor. Nikanor was a guy who donated money for the gate to the Beit HaMikdash, so they put a plaque up. There it is. They put up a plaque. This gate was donated by Nikanor the guy. That's called Shari Nikanor. Shari Nikanor was a thick wall So the Torah Kohanim sounds like it says the two Shnei Atzirim, when he does the Hagrola, should be listening to Hashem. Now the Gemara says in the first Perek in Yevamos on Dav Zayin Amud Beis, and in other places, the Shari Nikonah Bavonis Kachim, the thickness of the wall was Bavonis Kadosh. The Gemara in Psochim, and around, where is it? Pehei, I think, has a discussion. Which Sharim on Niskachim? Which Sharim on Niskachim? The thickness of the wall, was it Niskadosh or not? So the Minhaskina points out, what's the cloud? There is no cloud. When they made the binyan based on English, what did they have in mind? Did they want to be Makadosh or did they not want to be Makadosh? The Gemara discusses the thickness of this wall. Yeah, no, halfway. Yeah. Up until the middle point, a discussion in different places, but there is no theoretical rule. There is no din d'oraisa. Whatever the Chachamim wanted, b'shas binyan on English, that's the binyan. So the problem is, if Shar Nikonor was learned as Kadesh, it had a din l'chutz l'azara, so how can he have, what do you mean, have an oath l'ifnei Hashem? I mean, yeah, l'ifnei Hashem here means harabai? You don't need azar? So the Vilna Gaon is Magia v'Girsa, and the Torah Kohanim. Instead of reading l'ifnei Hashem Shar Nikonor, it should read the same as it says in the Mishnayis. L'ifnei Hashem means ni azara. Is it possible to be Mekayim the old Girsa, that it should say the Hemenoisim Lifnei Hashem, and the Sifra, the Torah Kohanim says B'Shar Nikonor? So the Gaon says no. It can't be Mame the Girsa. And this Sefer, I forgot what it's called, someone by the name of Viskin, wrote a Sefer on Chumash. We just printed this here. So he suggests that there's a little Tesis there in Yevamos, on Dav Zayin Amud Beis, but Tesis has a Machlokes of Yevon and the other Baliyah Tesis regarding the Metzora. It says when the Metzora becomes Tohor, when his disease is cured, so part of the process of Tahara is that he has to come to the Beis HaMikdosh. The Hemen HaKoyin HaMataher is Oish HaMi Taher V'Yoysom, and the Korbanos that he brought Lifnei Hashem Pesach Oil Moy, and the Koyin has to take some of the Dam HaOshem and put it al Boin Yorda HaMonis al Boin Ragla HaMonis, wrong hand, Boin Yorda HaMonis, Boin Ragla HaMonis, and al Tnuch Oznoi. So the Gemara has a problem over here, but he's still a Mechusik Kippurim. The Mitzvah is still a Mechusik Kippurim. They weren't Makriv of the Korbanos yet for him, so he's prohibited to enter into the Azara. So how did he come for the Matan Bahinus? Gemara says a special heter, Agzeres HaKosov, did he know it's a violation of special heter? So there's a Machloikis in the Gemara, Machloikis Amaroim in the first Perek in Yevamos, in Zvachim, whether there really is an Isser. Maybe there's no Isser, maybe he only sticks in his thumb. But that's a Machloikis, that's called Bia B'Mikta. A thumb is forbidden to enter into the Azara, Vayoba L'machna. And what if it's only Bia B'Mikdash? Rosh HaVeruva is Chutzlah, so just sticks his thumb in, and then he sticks his toe in, and the Rosh HaVeruva is that, but he sticks in just the tnuch, the hard part of his ear, and the rest of the Rosh is out, and the rest of the body is out. So one Mandama Nimorah that sticks, strictly speaking, it's not really a violation, there's no problem. The other Mandama says no. Bia B'Mikdash Shmo Bia, but it's less of an Issa than Bia B'Kuloi, and the Torah was Matah, that less of an Issa, the Torah was Matah. So the Gemara there says that this Mitzora, who's still a Mechusik Kippurim, he's not a Tommy anymore, but he's still a Mechusik Kippurim, he didn't bring his Karbonis yet, he stands in the thickness of the Shai Nikonor, because Shai Nikonor was Lainis Kaddish, and he sticks his thumb into the Azara, he does the Bia B'Mikdash. So Taisus has a discussion over there. One opinion in Taisus is that the Rivon has a strange opinion, that if they would have been the Kaddish, the Shai Nikonor, and the Azara and the Shai Nikonor, the thickness of the Shai Nikonor would have a Kedushat Azara, and the Mitzora would have to stand out, and the Ezra's Noshim would have to stand further out from the Shai Nikonor. If he would stick his thumb in there, that would have Kedushat Azara, that wouldn't work. Why wouldn't like the other Madaman Taisus says, why not? Well, what's the problem? He does the Bia B'Mikdash, he sticks his bahinus into the Azara. So this opinion the Rivon holds no. That it says in the pasuk in Mitzora, the Hemid Hakoyin Hamataheri, so Isha Mitaher, V'Yoysom, and the Korban is Lifnei Hashem. So the Mitzora has to stand Lifnei Hashem. So if the Mitzora is going to stand out of Shai Nikonor, that's not called Lifnei Hashem. But if he stands in the thickness of Shai Nikonor, so it is called Lifnei Hashem, even though the Shai Nikonor was Lenis Kaddish. The other Balei HaTaisa say it's all wrong. There is no such thing. And this Rivon insists like that. He says, Shai Nikano, since it's still the thickness of the wall, even though it's Lenis Kaddish, the Tushas Azor, there's no reason for Tomei to walk there in the thickness of the Shai Nikano, or big thickness of the wall. But it's called Lefnei Hashem, and it's a fulfillment of the Pasuk, Behemir HaKoyin HaMetar, Yishai HaMetar Lefnei Hashem. So that's what this Talmud Chochmah suggests. In his Sefer, he says that maybe the old Girs is not so bad. Maybe the Torah's Kohanim says that you should take, according to the Rivon, it's Nitam Layom, the Lokach Hashnei Aspirin, he takes the Shnei Aspirin, and he does the Hagrola, and Lifnei, Hemenei Shem, Lifnei Hashem, says the Shah Nikono, so the Groz, Mechik, the Gir, said, no! Shah Nikono was Lenis Kadesh, you have to take him, Lifnei Hashem means in the Azara, like it says in the Mishnah. So this Talmud Chochmah suggests, maybe according to the Rivon, the old Gir is not so fit. Maybe the Torah's kind of means to say that in the thickness of Shah Nikono is called Lifnei Hashem, despite the fact that is Lainus Kaddish. A very interesting critic. What do you do with the Torah Lazal? We have to get an Ishiti, says in the Pasuk. An Ishiti, a special person who's Mezumah Lakach, and he has to Shilav Yad Ishiti Hamid Bora. Rashi says, Hamuchan Lakach Mio Metzal. So the Gemara has in Yumra, the Gemara Mstachm says that we learn that from the word B'mayadai. The Yasa B'nei Yisrael Tapes of the Moado, so the word B'mayadai means it's a Korbish is Manakal Vua, and it's Dech HaShabbos and it's Dech HaTumah. That's the connotation of B'mayadai. So the Gemara in Yumra understands from the word Ish-Iti, Ish-Iti means Bizmanoi, Ace. Ace is Bizman. That afilu b'tumah, even if the ishit is tamei, he can still do the shiluach, and even if it's Shabbos, and even if it's Shabbos, and the soil of Azazel is tired, it's weak, and it can't run. Usually you get the soil to run on its own to the cliff, and then you push him over the cliff. And even if it's a chayla, even if the soil is a chayla, so the ishit is permitted to carry the soil. He's permitted to be Mechal Shabbos. The Gemara has a discussion, what do you have to say if Yom Kippur falls down on Shabbos? Yom Kippur you're not allowed to carry. So the Gemara says, oh, is that right that you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur? That's how happens to all about them in America all day. They carry their Maserim to Shul on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, no, Hoda Rabashi Bedusim, the Rabashi is wrong. Rabashi held you're allowed to carry on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, no, he's wrong. He held a Pasuk, where's the Pasuk? In Yirmiyah. So it says, Tzila Matzah Nivatechem B'yom HaShabbos. B'yom HaShabbos in and B'yom Kippur, but there's no Yisrael HaYisrael on Yom Kippur, no Yisrael HaYisrael on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara says that he's wrong. He's wrong on Yom Kippur, he's wrong on Yom Tov. The Yisrael HaYisrael is one of the Lamedes Melachos and applies equally. Shabbos and Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. And it's Takalav Dafkir. If the soil is Azal is Cholo, you're allowed to carry it, even though it's Yom Kippur. You don't have to add on and add, even if Yom Kippur happens to fall out of Shabbos. Even if knows Yom Kippur is Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to carry on Yom Kippur, Shain. So if it's Cholo, you're allowed to. So Rabbi Pesach Frank has a very interesting Machlekes with Rabbi Tzavol Zulfi. He must have been a very young man. He called Tagoyen Rabbi Tzavol. He wrote it himself. He wrote Tagoyen Rabbi Tzavol Zulfi said a chiddush. He was bothered with a kasha. Why does it say in the Lashon HaGemara is if the soil Azazel is cholo, so the ish iti should be markivo al ksefo. He should carry the soil Azazel on his shoulders, and he can't say achaynos es asma because cholo is not able to walk. So even though he's Mechal Shabbos, he's Mechal Yom Kippur, by carrying it, the Torah HaKrobat HaKrobonos, the Torah HaVoidah, it's permissible. The Rav Zulfi was bothered with that kasha, and he made a whole deal for why should he carry it on his shoulders and violate an Yisra Rav Haitzor, which is a malach with skila, with karis, with a ganta maisa. Why doesn't he take another animal? Let him get a donkey or a horse and put the Torah Lazozo on top of the donkey. He said, well, only be Mechamer. Shvisas Behemoth, as long as it's my behemoth. So let me not take my behemoth. It won't be Shvisas Behemoth. It won't be Mechamer. So why shouldn't I? Mechamer is only a Nisa Lav. It's not a Nisa Kores with a Nisa Nisa. That was his kasha. So he thought the answer, obviously, is that the Ish Iti has to do it himself. That if he's going to have a horse carry the soy of Azazel, he won't be Yitzidin. He won't be Yitzidin. So Rabbi Pesach Frank tying it against him that he was wrong. If so, even if the soil of Azazel is healthy, and it is able to walk on its own, it's a run on its own, we should insist that he should be, always has to carry the stoyer lazalta. What's the difference whether he has the stoyer run, whether he whacks it on the behind and it runs on its own to the cliff and he pushes over the cliff, or he has the stoyer lazalta riding on top of a donkey? So he says the answer, and that's certainly not correct, whenever the stoyer is healthy, so it's obvious from the Gemara that the stoyer runs on its own to the midbar and to the tuk, the kriyala tuk. This is obviously the halacha only requires that the shiti should be the mashgiach, he should supervise and see to it that the stoyer lazalta gets to his destination. It's not halacha that he has to do a maisa b'yadayim. If he has to do a maisa b'yadayim, even if the stoyer lazalta was not a chol, I should also say that it's no good. But how good the timing is. I was just surprised historically that Rabbi Sal Zhulti was such a young man. And he quotes him as Hagoyim of some time. He was a big one at a young age. I saw in the Sefer also another fascinating chiddush about this thing called Matzeis Moshe. He quotes the Teres Kehanim. I got to look this up to make sure that it really says that. I'm very skeptical whether this is true. He quotes the Hakira. When the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur to do, and he does the Kseres, what's the law? Is it A or is it B? The A is a normal pshat. It's a normal pshat. The Allah requires that he has to do Hakturas. He has to do certain steps of Avodah. The part of the Avodah he has to do is Hakturas Hakteres. Lifnai with Lifnim. He can't get to do a Lifnai with Lifnim unless he's got to walk in. How's he going to get this? He has to walk in. That's the Heksher. The Heksher, the Mitzvah is Haktoret Haktoret. And the Heksher Mitzvah, the thing that enables you to do the Mitzvah, is to go in. Or maybe I should say, no. That what? There's a Mitzvah that the Kohen Gadol has to appear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. But if he's going to just appear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur, be a Rekon? Shouldn't come with nothing. But since the din requires that he should appear in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so the Torah says, in order that it shouldn't be a violation of the Yirei Kodesh, so let him bring Torah. So he says it's the second way. What is the second way? It's the Torah's Kohanim. He says, Torah's Kohanim gives a mashal of Adal HaDaimah, and the Torah's Kohanim, the way he quotes it, I gotta check to see if it really exists. So the Torah's Kohanim takes this seriously, draws a parallel to the din of Shalosh Pama Mashalna, Yeroh Kol Zuchur Chas Pnei Hashem Alakech. All the men have to come oil a regal on Pesach Shavuos, and then there's a din. V'lo yiro fana reikam. When they come in the Yazara, they have to bring a carbon also. So it's not that they have to. Who says that that's correct either? What's the halacha on Shavuos Regolim? Is the halacha they have to appear in the Yazara, and l'yiro fana reikam? They're not allowed to appear without a carbon. So in the Mele they have to bring a carbon. How do you say no? All the men are obligated to bring a carbon. And in order to be able to the carbon, they have to come there also. They can't be mishaleach. The Gemara says a tamei can normally be mishaleach carbon oisav all year long. A tamei can be mishaleach carbon oisav, but the carbon of oivus riyah, the tamei cannot be mishaleach, because we learn from a pasuk that only mishyeshna lebiya yeshna b'havah, mishyeshna lebiya yeshna b'havah. The Gemara in the beginning of Chagiga. So what's the pshat be'agufa? I'm not so convinced that we did it, that's the pshat, but that's what he quotes all of this from the Torah's Kohanim. He says the Torah's Kohanim, the way he quotes it, that's you gotta look a little more, maybe it's out of context, but the way he's quoting from the Torah's Kohanim, it sounds like on Shalosh Regolim the Iker Mitzvah is that the men have to appear in the Azorah, and then there's a din like they're not allowed to appear empty-handed. So once they want to fulfill that mitzvah of appearing in the Azorah, then they have to bring with them a carbon. And the Torah's Kohanim draws a parallel here to the Kangrab on Yom Kippur, that the Iker function of the Kohen Gadol is on Yom Kippur you should go. The reason why he goes in is not in order to be able to do the Haktaras Haktaras. He goes in that the mitzvah to appear in the presence of Hashem. And then he shouldn't be L'Rof on Erechim, so he has to bring Torah. Yeah, that's what he quotes. The Torah's Kohanim understands the Pshuta Shal Mikra like that. I still find it very shocking and very surprising. You gotta go through Yuma again to see. I never heard of that one before. He gives an afkamina. So he can play Hakir's and take from next year. No afkamina, nothing. He gives an afkamina Ladina. What if the Kohen Gadol will go in there a fish pish. Instead of going in knisa, normal knisa, they'll climb in through a window. But that's not called knisa. If there's a mitzvah knisa, you're not yet to the mitzvah knisa with that. So what if they'll go in and they'll do the avaida, and then they'll go out through the window? So I would have thought the avaida is good. He did the avaida, the avaida is good. What about care how he got in by hook or by crook? Or maximum what you might say, the Gemara says no, the Kohen Gadol has to go. That's where our Soloveitchik printed it about very many years ago, 50 years ago, in the Heidenu, in the Yeshiva publications. The Beit Yitzchok used to be called Heidenu, in the earlier Gilgul days of Dr. Realm. So they printed a dry parrot that is Muchach and the Gemara in Chulin, I think, in the first parrot, that the Kohen Gadol on Yom HaKippurim has to enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and exit from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kederach Knisa and Kederach Yitzchia. So why? Why should that be so? So the translation gave a whole beer. So this fellow, this kid, somehow he said, no, this is the Hezbollah. Why? He says, that's the whole mitzvah is Knisa. The mitzvah is to be nichnas into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not that the mitzvah is to be makdik terrorist and the Knisa is just a hechitimsa, a hechshe mitzvah, to enable him to do the haktoris haktoris. It's just a hechitimsa. So let him go through the window. So he claims, no, you see from the Gemara that that's the ikar mitzvah is the Knisa. I'm not sure. So Leitchik reinterpreted that Gemara. So Leitchik clearly did not think so. He had a different shot than that Gemara. Right after the Seder of Aris Yom Kippur, the Torah has a dinim of Shechet Bachutz and Mala Bachutz. These are two parshiyot. You're not permitted to do Shchutei Chutz, and you're not permitted to do Haktorah, Chutz LaMikdash. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Perka Shechet BaMala, the end of the Gemara, that one of those Shechet Bachutz and Mala Bachutz is Chai. Bishaking is Chai Tu Haktorah, because he violated the two different Isuri Korah. The Gemara Sanhedrin quotes the Machlekes of the Kivan Rabbi Shmoel, from which parsha do we derive that there is an Isser of Zorek Dam Bachutz? Is it, it's not explicit, but they all agree that there is an Isser Deraita with an Isser Koritz. Is it included in Shechet Bachutz? Because Shchita Kabbalah and Ophaz Rita Badal Ravaydis Adam? Or should I say no, the Zorek Dam is like a Matana on the Mizbeth, that's like Haktorah. Haktorah means you burn it on the Mizbeth, you burn the Chalovim, or the Emurim on the Mizbeth, and here it says Rika on the Mizbeth. This is the Machlok Yisatanoim, Rabbi Kirei Mishmo, which parts of Yidashim, for what's enough Kamin Allah from Ma'itze? The Gemara says the difference is a big difference. What if the person will do both Bishoigik? He'll do Shechet and Zorek Bishoigik, and didn't realize that he's doing an Aver. He thought it was Mutter. He'll do Shechet and Zorek. So if a person repeats the same Aver twice, Behel and Echot, Bishoigik, then it's only Chayv one Chazor. But if it's Shnei Shemis and it's Chayv Shechatos, if he does Shechet and Mala, a Shechet and Mala is Chayv Shtayim, because it's two Parshas in the Chumash. The Shaila is whether Zorek is subsumed under the Parsha, under the category of Mala, or it falls under the category of Shechet with an Afkamina for Helam Echot. Or if it's Chayv Achas, a Chayv Shtayim. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanoim Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon regarding a pasuk in the middle of the parashas of Arayim. Ishi shall call Shem b'solus tigavu legalus erevu ani Hashem eres avicha ve'eres simcha lois tigala imcha hi eres simcha. You understand this is a zochet, this is on a keva. Eres simcha lois tigala, we know what it means. Yes, my simcha yon. But by the Yom HaSoilom, the Rav understood, what is Eves Avichol Oisegala? What does that mean? The Rashi quotes, Sanhedrin Nun Dalet. Rashi and Chumash quotes the Machlokes HaTanoim. One Tana says, Eves Avichol Zu Eishes Avichol. That Eishes Av has an Eishes Kor. That's what it's referring to. And the other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, says, no, Eves Avichol Mamish. Eves Avichol Mamish. Aye, but it says already, it's Mishkav Zohar. So the Gemara says, Nafkimine, that is Chayv Shtayim. That is Chayv Tu Chatos. If he does the Bishoigeg, he's Chayv Tu Chatos. So in connection with this sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, we don't pass like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass like Eves Avich means Eshet Avich. It doesn't refer to Avich HaMamash. But according to the Tana Rav Yehuda, the Rebbe of Yichud is mamish and l'chayv al shtei chatzoros. But there is an interesting machlokes Tosfos and the Tosfos Yishonim in Yevamos on Daf Chof Dalet in the sugya of Pargin and Dibur. Shabbatim Kama. The machlokes should have been on Sanhedrin Daf and Dalet on the Daf. It's not there. I think the Minhag Chinuch probably quoted over here. I'm pretty sure. Hasina quoted over here, the Machlokes Tosfos and the Tosfos Yishonim. What if a person is Goal of his Mishkav Zocher and they warned him, instead of warning Mishkav Zocher, Chayiv Skila? Instead of warning, don't do Mishkav Zocher, Chayiv Skila, no, this guy always does Mishkav Zocher. That's not a problem. Whatever, this deciding, they don't punish for that. They say, don't be Goal of Icho. The stuff from the Gilei Arai is Goal of Icho, is Chayiv Nisa. And he says, I don't care. He doesn't care. Would he be Chayiv Nisa or not? The Torah only says Yechayv Koris. Torah says, in Akrimot you have the Yisurin with the Einish Koris. And then in Kedoshim, it repeats those that have an Einish Mitzah. Those that don't have Einish Mitzah, some of them don't have Einish Mitzah, so the Taka not repeating. Whatever does not need to, the Taka not repeating. Eres Avich only appears here, in the Parsha of Akrimot. So it only says that Eres Avich, if you hold Avich HaMamish, so it says that it has a Koris. It doesn't say that it has Mitzah. The Tosfos assumes for Dalet Parsha that there's an Einish Skila, that there would be Misa. That's how Tosfos interprets the Gemara's Kashin, Makis, Davov, and the Gemara says, Zela Meyato, Nir Vayatzil. What's the Kashin Nir Vayatzil? The Tosfos says, according to that Tana, there is a Vich Alosh Gala means Boa Lovis Mamish, and the Nirva is the Chasson of the son, the Nirva is the father of the son, whatever. So they're relatives, so why don't you say Korav Apostle? So how can you ever have that part? If you ever saw Yichol Oysa Gawa, it's a chazin of Korv and Tosfos. So the Gemara answers, the Mekai Medor HaKasim, whatever, the Gemara gives an answer to the Kasha. But what was the Kasha? Nir Vayatso. Who says the Nir was Tosfos, right? The Tosfos says the Kasha was on this Tosfos. And on that Tosfos, there's a Tosfos Yishonim. The Marshal quotes the Tosfos Yishonim. On that Tosfos, there's a Tosfos Yishonim that says, who says that there's Misa? The Chumash only says that there's Korin. The Chumash never says that there's Misa. What's the Machlek of Tosfos and the Tosfos Yishonim? So the Shurim of Rav Elbel of Soloveitchik and Krisis, they quote that he gave the following biur, that the Machlokes HaRishonim is within Rav Yehuda. We don't pass like Rav Yehuda. Within Rav Yehuda, that Rebbe Tzavicha means Avicha Mamish, what's the nature of the din? Is this a branch of Gilui Arayis of Kroivim? It's one of the relatives. You're not allowed to live with your sister, with your mother, with your daughter, with your daughter-in-law, with your aunt, and with your father. They're not our relatives. The relatives are tossed. Some of the relatives have meat and some of the relatives. Achosa, Bal Achosa is not Chai meat. Chai Koras, Chai Malka is not Chai meat. And this parasha lifts off all the relatives because they all have one thing in common. They all have Koras. But it doesn't mean that they all necessarily have meat. So if you hold that according to Rav Yehuda that the service of Yichon Mamesh is Vitoris, a relative, Vitoris, Kroivim, then the Tosfos Yishonim should be right. There's no pasuk that says that it has meat. So all you know is that it has Koras. If the pshat is Eretz Avicha, that it's a branch of Mishkav Zohar, it's taka written here, El Kol Sher B'Sol, the Sikh of the Galat Erev, at the beginning of the parasha starts off, the end of Achrimot, by Shishi, the beginning of this section, starts off that there is a prohibition of relatives. But it really, this pasuk, it's a little strange, the opening pasuk, the very first word, El Kol Sher B'Sol, the Sikh of the Galat Erev, and the first one mentioned is not the Torah's relative, the first one mentioned Eva Simcha, and the next one is the Torah's relative. What do you do with the pasuk? But that's what Rav Elbel suggests. That the other, the Shita's Balei HaTosfos is that the prohibition, according to Rabbi, the Eretz Avicha Mamish, is not the Torah's a relative, but rather it's a branch of the Mishkav Zocher, which God is mentioned later. Later in the parasha. After all the Arayis, Arayis Girechen, then it has Nido, then it has Moilech, and then it has Mishkav Zocher. Later it has Mishkav Zocher. So that's what Rav Elbel suggested. The Lachar, the Machlekes HaRishonim, Tosfos, the Tosfos Yishonim is it a branch within a prat within the din of Mishkav Zocher? It's really out of order. So you should have first had the rule and then the footnote. The Mishkav Zocher is 10 stukim later. That's what he suggests. And then he finds difficulty with this. Lachari, he thinks this is the optach of the Machlekes Tosfos and Tosfos Yishonim. Then he finds difficulty. The Gemara Tafkiz over there in Sanhedrin Nun Dalet. But according to the Tana Rav Yehuda, what do you need a pasuk? Ever says Yichol Oysa Galus. Anyway, Mishkav Zocher. So the Gemara says the Nafkei Mina is the Chayv Shtayim. That if he does b'shege, he has to bring two karbanos chatos. So yes, the kasha lachari, he can only be mechuyev to bring two karbanos chatos if the mamashem is mechlokin. if it's an Isser, Avicha is Betoras Mishpacha, it's a relative, and it's Mishkav Zoch, and Betoras a Zocher, but then if Mamish Nei Shem is, then I understand that it should be Chayv Shtei Chatoas B'Shoigei. But if you hold that Eretz Avicha is just a branch of Mishkav Zocher, so why should it be Taka Chayv Shtei Chatoas? The Din should Taka be, only Chayv Chatoas B'Shoigei. This is Taina, there's no Mechalik. He has Gemara's increases with Mashma like that, that if you have an Ether which is a branch of another Ether, that should really be called Shem Echot Benegeet or Chatzor. Benegeet the Mezid, maybe it would be Shnei Shemus, Benegeet the Getting Malkus. What's Mechalik and Mezid? What's Mechalik the Mezid for Malkus? What's Mechalik the Shogir for Chatzor? Doesn't correspond. Gemara says the Ferish, it does not correspond. There's a difference. So Rav Avraham says that's what it depends on. What's Mechalik? The mezid means, is it another Isser? What's Mechalik B'Shoigeh? Is it another category of an Isser? Tain is over here, L'chore, if Eretz Avicha Mamish is a branch of Mishkav Zohar, and that's why Tyson holds that there's Nisos, that really doesn't make sense, that it should that it should be Chayv Shtei Chatoas. Akash. But that's back on the same Zot, and Sanhedrin Nun Dalet, they're both one after the other, about HaShoichet V'HaZoirik. But it's Chayv Shtei Chatoas, and that depends on the Machlok Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva, from which passage do I derive Zorik Bachut? And this issue of Chayv Shtein is that Machlok Rabbi Nader Abona by Erev Tzavi Chamam is what it means. Then the Torah has the mitzvah of Kisli Hadam. Right after the Dinim of Shchut Vichutz, the Torah has the mitzvah of Kisli Hadam, which applies Arayam Ezeh and New York. Sometimes they shecht over here, no yeshiva. Okay, but you shecht chay of the oaf. The aim of doesn't need kisa. There's no mitzvah kisa adam, but if you do kisa adam on chay, you do a shchit on a chay, shchit on an oaf, then it's torn kisa adam. What's the din if you shecht 100 chayas together, you have to do kisa on each one separately? So the Mishnah says, no, you can do one kisa adam at the end after doing all. That's what they do when they shecht, let's say the chickens and empire and all the place, they shecht 1,000 a minute, whatever, and then they do kisa adam at the end on all 1,000 chickens. But the Mishnah says if you're doing chayav the earth together, you have to have two kisui adam. You're not supposed to do it with one kisui adam. Apostle, we might learn that from apostle. Chayav oh, have to have a separate kisui adam. There is a time, no time is given. I thought a good time. I thought there may be a very good time, because the Dinei Shechita are different. The Halacha says, Tosis in Chumen, I think Pei Zayin Amad Aleph, Pei Vav Amad Aleph, Tosis points out, a Raya in the Gemara, that Kisei Adam is considered a Gemara of the Shechita. That even though he shecht a Chayo or an Oaf, and he didn't do Kisei Adam, he's still permitted to eat the flesh, but still, the Din is that the Kisei Adam is considered a Gemara of the Shechita. The Moshel, there's a Hagot HaShri, on the Perek Kisei Adam, that's the Perek in Chulin. But the Hagos Rashi quotes, I think, the opinion of the Baal Avachos Gezerlis, if I'm not mistaken, it says that the Birchas Kisei Adam should be recited La'achar Asiyot, even though the Gemara says he's talking. And the Abzayin, Kola Mitzvah School, Mavach Alayim Avadot Yosin, Kisei Adam is an exception to the rule. Why should it be an exception to the rule? He says, because he's holding in the middle. What do you mean holding in the middle? So the Beis HaLevi has a tshuva where he explains Pshat and it's, Hagos Hashri, Bishen Habahag, I think, that apparently he's of the opinion that the Birchas HaMitzvah should either be recited before you begin to do the mitzvah or after you've completed doing the mitzvah. It's not proper to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah in the middle of doing the mitzvah. We usually assume not so. We usually assume that if a person forgot to recite the bracha before he started to do the mitzvah, so chach chaparain a little bit of Avadatsiyasim by reciting the bracha in the middle while you're doing the mitzvah. Don't wait till after you finish it. Like Tosfos said regarding the Mesilas Yadayim. Really, you should have said the bracha before you begin to do the whole Mesilas Yadayim, Ovelas Yosem, so we don't do like that. So we first wash. But Tosfos said, well, it's a little bit Ovelas Yosem because we say the bracha before we dry our hands. According to this opinion that's quoted by the Avos Rosh, you should say, no, either you do before you begin to do the Mesilas, or you do after you finish drying your hands with Dafke, after you finish the whole Mesilas. So we don't follow this. But that's apparently what this region also, about Avos Rosh, I think it is. He holds way to Beis HaLevi interprets his opinion. He holds that the Birchas HaMitzvah should either be recited before you begin to do the Ma'is HaMitzvah or after you've already completed. But since Kisei Adam is really a Gemara of the Shechitas, even if you're going to recite the Bracha before you begin to do the Kisei Adam, you're already holding in the middle because you already did the Shechitas. Because the Kisa, by definition, is the Gemara of the Shechita. Therefore, he holds that you have to do the, you have to recite the bracha l'achar afiyos, and after the whole thing is all over. Sachidish. So I thought that that's perhaps the Yisrael Adin why Chaya v'Yof have to have a separate Kisei Adam, because the Hilcha Shechita are different. By Behemah v'Chaya, the Din Behemah does need Kisei Adam, but Behemah v'Chaya, the Din requires that you have to do Shechita Shnei Simonim. You have to shech the Kana and the Reishit. Hasheni came by Yof, or you need a Shechita Simon Echot, or you have to do a shech one Simon. The Gemara says that at the beginning of the second parak in Chulon, the Lechatchila, the first piece of Gemara, Lechatchila should really shech both Simonim by the Yof also. But that's a question there, whether that's a Lechatchila deraita just from Lechatchila deRabbanan. So I thought, even if it's Lechatchila deraita, but still the Hilcha Shechita are really different. The Hilcha Shechita is not Me'akeh B'Di'evet, and the Chaya would be Me'akeh B'Di'evet. So I thought that perhaps that's the Yisrael Adin. That since the Kisi Adam is the Gemara of the Shechita, the Mishnah Brewer has its own Mishnah Brewer in Hilcha Yontif. When he quotes, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Dinah from the Gemara in the first parak in Beitza, that deal with doing Kisei Adam on Yom Tov, avoiding Malacha, when you do the Kisei Adam, so the Mishnah Berurah and the Shaar HaTzion quote the Mashmoyos from the Rabbeinu Hananel that it's not proper to eat the flesh before you do Kisei Adam. It's not Ma'akeh, but since the Kisei Adam is the Gemara of the Shechita, so Adam with sawdust. How can they do with sawdust? The pasuk says with Yizahu Ben Offer. Offer is the offer. Offer is the Lord sawdust. Yeah. The Tysis points out on the Gemara in Chulin that you see Mukha from the Gemara that there are two definitions of offer, the two things that are included. Whatever is offer is offer. And what's called offer? In biblical Hebrew. The Gemara quotes a pasuk Afra Yizahu. What is that pasuk? I forgot. There's Afra Zob, we need him yesterday also, he's not here when we need him. There's a pasuk Afra Zob, so Zob, if you grind up gold and you have gold powder, the gold powder would be good for Kisei Adam because offer, that's by definition offer. And then the Gemara says, in the Mishnah in Kisei Adam, the Gemara discusses whatever is Zorimbo Matmeach, whatever you can, if you'll plant in it and something will be able to grow, the Gamkein offer. The Tzitzis points out there are two dinim, quote in Yerudea, the Tzitzis. There's two halachas of offer. So sawdust is not called offer, but it's Zorim Bo Matzmir. If you plant something in it, it'll grow. So therefore, it does qualify as offer. Then the Torah has the prohibition of Chukaseim Lo Yisei Lechu. Tosfos in Sanhedrin and in Avodah Zarah points out that there are two prohibitions in Chukaseim Lo Yisei Lechu. One is, if it's Stam Minik Shtus B'Alma, the Goyim do, for no good reason, the Goyim have a style that they wear dresses like this, a Narish guy. So that's one Yisrael Chukasakim, not to go along with the style. And there's another Chukasakim question. And then Taisha says, but if it's just the meaning Shtuz B'Alma that the Goyim do, if you're doing a Vashem Mitzvah, then it's permissible. But then there's another Chukasakim, which is Mochomer. If by the Nochrim, by the Umas Olam, it's a Chayk L'Avodah Zarah, if they do it as a religious ritual, then we're not permitted to do it even Vashem Mitzvah. The Rav pointed out when we learned Sanhedrin, if Taisus is saying that there are two different divim, you have to have two different sukkim. So he thought that the other pasuk, the Chukaseim Lo Yisei Lechu in Parshas Achri Mois, is only speaking about the Minik Shtus, what Taisus calls the Minik Shtus B'Alma. That you shouldn't imitate the Nochrim. Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, Derech Riyasa Shel Adam, the way, I think the beginning of Perek Sheni, Hilchos Deis, the nature, human nature is that we always like to be sociable and we always like to conform. Most people like to conform. and they pick up habits from others. So the Torah prohibits us from going in the chukas ha-goyim, the minik shtus of the goyim, lest we will pick up all of their attitudes and all of their negative hashkafet and all of their hatoim and so on. But if you're doing the chukas ha-kam l'shem mitzvah, then there's no prohibition. That's what the Gemara says. If you do it for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah, there wouldn't be any prohibition. But if it's a chayt la'avodah zarah, then it's a different prohibition. We're not allowed to do it even l'shem mitzvah. That's based on a different pasuk in Dvarim. When it says, from a commentary to Israel, when we start to investigate, Echi Abda Agai Mahem Esalahei, and Esi Ken Gamoni, then the Torah says, L'Sasim Ken L'Hashem Elokech. So what does that mean? Echi Abda Agai Mahem Esalahei, how did the Goyim worship the Avodah Zarah? The Esi Ken Gamoni, means I want to worship Avodah Zarah too. That's how the Gemara understands it in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya of Avodah Zarah, and Av Samachala. That pasuk tells me the din of Avodah Zarah Kedarka. However they worship their Avodah Zarah, whether they're Poel Lepores or Kevin the Markulis, whatever crazy form, if their Avodah Zarah is eating cookies or whatever, carrying candles or whatever it happens to be, doesn't have to correspond living or death to anything that was done in the Beis Hamikdash. That's a different din. There are Dalar Avodah Zarah, that if you do them Avodah Zarah, Shechita, what is it for? Zibuah Kita Nisach Ishtachvor, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin. That if a person does one of these four, Nibuach, Kitur, Haktor, Nisach, pouring wine, Ishtachvor, even if you do it Shaloi Kedarka, that's not the way they worship this Avodah Zarah, so then you Chayv Mitzvah anyway. But if you worship an Avodah Zarah Kedarka, then you are Chayv Mitzvah. That's based on that pasuk. Echo Yabda, Koyim Ha'em, Salahem, Esa Ken Gamoni, that's called Avodah Zarah Kedarka. But the Ramban, Achumish writes, he thinks that that's not Pshut Lashon Mikra, that's a Droshes Chacham. That's a Torah Shel Ha'peh, it's an additional level of interpretation. And Baruch Chumash writes that he thinks the Pshut Lashon Mikra is Echo Yavda, Agayim Ahem, Tela Heihem, Be'ese King Amani Vashamayim. I will introduce into the Jewish religion the beautiful practices that the Christians have and that the other religions have. There is a New York personality who feels that he's an Orthodox rabbi. I don't know, maybe he just says that. I'm not sure if he feels he says that he's an Orthodox rabbi. And he keeps on preaching this. He says the Jewish religion is stale and it's not up to date, and we should look around at all the other religions. Mamash, a literal translation of the pasuk. Let's look around at all the other religions and see the beautiful practices that they have, and let's introduce them into the Jewish religion. That's exactly what the Ramban says. I'll do that to the Banish law. So the Ramban says that's a separate issue. So Rav Soloveitchik taught the fact that Taisus says that there are two prohibitions. Chukasakum, Taisus has two Gemaras, and one Gemara seems to say, whenever you do Chukasakum for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah, it's mutter. The other Gemara says, even if you're doing a mitzvah, it's still us. But Taisus explained the two kinds of Chukasakum, is it a minik shtus or is it a chayk lavad izor? So the Rav thought that if there are two types of Yisurim, there must be two parshis in the Chumash. He thought that Taisus probably understood like the Ramban HaChumash also. Then he showed the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos also holds like the Ramban HaChumash. I think that part the Yer Samech already noticed. The Rambam, when he quotes all the dinim of Chukasakum, he says, Chukasim lo yitzay leichu, k'mal teyaz min hamshay yishavtum, he quotes all the psukim and acharim. Then he quotes the pasuk over there. L'tzasim kein l'ashem alakechem. What has it got to do with Chukasakum? In Gansan are different things. You see, I think there are some Echeveri points that you see from the Rambam, that he also understood like the Rambam. V'chai bohem is the mocker of the din of pikuach nefesh. Is deicha kol atar kul. It's interesting. That's what Shmuel says. At the end of Yuma, the Gemara has a whole... In the last part of Yuma, it says that if a person is the sakon, if he's going to fast on Yom Kippur, so you tell him that he has to eat. The old Rabbi Breuer, Zachan Lebracha, used to live here in the neighborhood, died at the age of 98. That's why we call him the old Rabbi Breuer. But he used to be in the practice of going to... There were old balabatim whom the doctors would tell that when they reached the age of 80, 90, whatever, they have to eat. So that for 90 years they were fasting on Yom Kippur, they're not going to eat. He used to go visit their homes on Erev Yom Kippur and tell them that just like it's a mitzvah for the healthy people to fast on Yom Kippur, it's the same mitzvah for the sick people that they have to eat. And I'm eating and you have to eat also. The Rabbanim have to, you're not permitted to be machin, there's no minus chassidus. Whenever it says the chaybahim, whenever there's a sukkah, sakona, or a suffix sakona, or a spek sake of the sakona, so the din is that there's no midas chassidus to be machmer al atzma. There's a Peladika story that's quoted in the Sefer Gisa Behetzer to Rabbeinu Yoinah. There's a little sefer, he said that, little. So I have a little one. It's usually in Europe it was printed so big, and now in Eretz Yisrael after the Second World War they shrunk it to one third of the original size. My father has a big one and I have a little one. So in the sefer Yisrael that's written by the Rabbeinu Yoina, they don't know exactly which Rabbeinu Yoina it is, but some early Achron or late Rishon, whatever. So he quotes a Maisa Pella. The sefer Yisrael is all about Basel B'Halam, Tarubis and Malicha and Treifa, everything, all the Dinam has not, all Yeridei Chelek Aleph and the beginning of Chelek Beis about Kashering that. And then at the end he has the last in, and then Yisrael is about Pikuach Nefesh. So he tells a Maisa Pella that there was one Bala Taisis. I don't know if there's any other source for that story. Maybe it's a Bala Maisa. There was one Bala Taisis who was sick, and it was Yom Kippur. And the doctor said that if he fasts, for sure he's going to die. And even if he eats, he may also die. So he said, "Ein tzavik ma'aseh nevada." If he eats, for sure he's going to violate the Yisrael Yom Kippur, and he's not sure whether he's going to be doing tikkun nefesh or not. So if he fasts, he will not violate Yom Kippur, and he may be in violation of tikkun nefesh. But ein tzavik ma'aseh nevada. They said he's going to fast. He's going to fast and not violate Yom Kippur mitzvah. And what happened? He died. The Chatella, what's going on? Abba said he did wrong. So why did he write this story down that everybody should know the Zayri that he did wrong? Can I get Alocha? So some Poskim have tshuvas, they stand on the head, they try to be miyashi, what the Maisa was, he and I have pshatim, all the pshatim, whatever it is, we would not Poskim like that, Abba said. We would not do that. We don't consider that a midas chasidah. What we might consider midas chasidus, a different story. If an anos comes to kill you, so that's the Mishnah in Yuma, says that a person who doesn't feel well on Yom Kippur, the doctors say he better eat because it's a tzafik sakana, so he has to eat. So Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you know that Kroch Nevesh Dechon Kol Tzukro? So one time he gives one marker, Rabbi Lozman Azai gives a marker, and Rabbi Lezer, and Rabbi Shu, everybody gives another marker. And then Shmuel, the Amora, comes and he gives a marker. And then I think Rava makes a comment, you see? Shmuel outdid all the Tanaim. Every drasha that all the Tanaim said, taking off kaporis, he can shlug up every drasha. And Shmuel's drasha hits the nail on the head. Gevaldik, he's the best one. That's the one that we always say over. That's Shmuel's drasha. We don't say over the drashas from all the Tanaim. What you might possibly say, Amidas Chasidus, to be Maitre Nefesh, is in a different case. Let's say there's a situation where a Nochri is holding a gun to kill me unless I'll do some Aveira or another. But then we have rules and regulations. We learned on Daf Chafein, Sochim, when it is Yehorik Val Yavar. The Gimel Aveira Sachamuris is Yehorik Val Yavar, and the Shara Aveira is if it's Prefer Hesi is Yehorik Val Yavar, or if it's Bishat Hashman, even Mitzino. Is also considered like Rahesi, it's also Yehorik Bayam. So what if you have a situation, Shara Veiris, the Dine, Shalom B'Shah Tashma, the Dine is Yavi. Yavor, so all Yehorik, he should violate Yavera, and he doesn't have to give up his life. What if he wants, as an actor, Midas Hasidus, he does not want to violate the Yisrael. So that's a Machlekes HaRishayim. The Rambam says you're forbidden to be Maisa Nefesh, that's called suicide. And some other Rishonim, another group of Rishonim say no. The only time it's forbidden to prop and Midas Chasidus into Pesach Chayla. So what's going to be the Kiddush Hashem? He's going to die from the sickness. What's the Chachman's stupidity? So that's a violation of Chaybahem. That's suicide. But if there's an Anos, a Nachri who's Ma'anis and to violate one of those Atayrah, if he will volunteer to be Yehorik Val Yavar, it'll be a Midas Chasidus. We'll have a Kima Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. That's the Machlek, is the Rambam in other Rishonim. There are many Gemaras that seem to contradict the Rambam. That's the case of Mishnah, quotes the Kasha from the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef of Sanhedrin. There are many Gemaras that contradict the Rambam. That say the favorites that they will see are Tanoim and Amoraim, who were Moshe Nefesh in instances where the Halacha didn't require it. So what's the Rambam going to do with all those Gemaras? Doesn't seem to indicate that the other Rishonim are right. So the case of Mishnah on the side of the Rambam in Perikain, Yisrael Yatarek, quotes from the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef at the end, says that that must have been Lahai Rosh Shor, the Mikdamuk. If it's only the Rosh or the Mingdanur. The Chachamim or the Balabatim felt in that instance that if they would give up their lives, they would accomplish a lot. The other people would see how serious it is to be observant in Shabbos and Kashrus, whatever, would have a hashpo on other people. So there, the Halacha allows you sometimes to violate an Aver, Bekum V'Yasei, if it's the Rosh or the Mingdanur. the end of all of the arayas, the pasuk is very strange. It says, "Losoki yaskem ha'oritz," and Eretz Yisrael should not vomit you out. So the Ramban points out why Gilei Arayis has a shaykhus, but Eretz Yisrael, Gilei Arayis is not from the mitzvah of Tzvi Yisbor, it's not an agricultural mitzvah that it's only noig in Eretz Yisrael. It's noig all over the whole world. So why does the pasuk sound like it has a special shaykhus in Eretz Yisrael more so than in Chutz La'aretz? Why does it say the world will vomit you? No, Eretz Yisrael will vomit you out. So the Ramban points out his famous chiddush. He has it in a few places in Chumash. He has it in Bereishis, and he has it in Dvarim, and a few places he writes that the ikir makam of shmiras kol hamitzvos kulam is in Eretz Yisrael. And even the mitzvahs that are chayvus aguf, that are not chayvus karka, not only the mitzvahs atzvos bo'ez, the agricultural mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to by the Tanakh as Elokei Ha'aretz. He's the melech in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is called the Palfin Shel Melech. And if a person doesn't have any aver in Eretz Yisrael, it is a bigger aver than if he would do it in Chutz La'aretz. So the Neza has a long tshuva that's all based on that premise. This long tshuva that the Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not as a mitzvah to live. He died 80 years ago. So the Neza has a tshuva, is there a mitzvah to move to Eretz Yisrael as man as he said yes. He says yes, but the Gemara says that they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. So he says, the Gemara says in Brochus, one of the Chachamim didn't go to Eretz Yisrael as long as he wasn't shown in Hashemayim that he was not a sinner. But once they showed him that he was not a sinner, that then he did go to Eretz Yisrael. What does that do with sinning or not sinning? It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, so live in Eretz Yisrael. So he says, no, when you do Averis in Eretz Yisrael, it's a bigger Averis. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Elokei Ha'aretz, and he's the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar says on the Pasuk in Kohelet, Ashrech Eretz and Malkech Ben Chorin. It's the praises of a country where the president, where the king is the Ben Chorin. And Eilach Eretz and Malkech Nar, that is to say, woe is unto the country where the rulers are young people. What is he referring to? Ashrech Eretz. It's the praises of the country, Shemalkech Ben Chorin. So the Zohar says in connection with that Pasuk, it's the praises of Eretz Yisrael, Shemalkech Ben Chorin, that your king is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the one who makes people free. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu frees the slaves when it comes Shnat HaYoivim. That's what it says in the Zohar. That's from Hashtag, what it's talking about. But the Zohar says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is officially the Melech of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Nitzuri character always sing in the national anthem. Hashem Hu Malkeinu Vodo Anachnu Avadim Bamedina Einanu Maminim Einanu Maminim. So the first line is true. Hashem Malkeinu, true. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech of Eretz Yisrael. The official government is the Ribbono Shel Olam. And in fact, the Gemara says in Kiddushin that a Melech Shemachal Kvod Ein Kvod O Machul. The Melech is Machul on his Kovid. It's not Nimchal. So one of the Rishonim, the Marzai, quotes from the Balei Atayis. The reason why, because the official Melech is really the Ribbono Shel Olam. The one is not the Melech. He's only a Bokayach. He's only a representative. The government in Eretz Yisrael is only a representative of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The real Melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says, Hamam Lech Melochim, Veloy Hamlucha. The Ribbono Shel Olam appoints kings, but he is the real king. Veloy Hamlucha. So the called man, the Ribbono Shel Olam is not Moichel, so the one who is playing house as the Melech, one who is acting prime minister, he's making believe that he's the Melech, he has no right to be Moichel on his cover. So it's not really his kavod, it's really the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what somebody showing us said. So if a person is more than Malchus in the White House, is more than Malchus in the palace of the Melech, that's a bigger aver than is more than Malchus far away. So the one is more than Malchus in Eretz Yisrael, one who does any aver is more than Malchus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech Olam, it's not just Melech over Eretz Yisrael. So one who is in violation of any aver in Eretz Yisrael is considered a bigger ched. Because he's doing the Merida the Malchus and the Palton Shel Melech. All of Eretz Yisrael is called the Palace, the Palton Shel Melech. That's one of the Ramban. The Ramban on the Sefer Mitzvahs also, and Mitzvah says, say, Dalad Nashmat, it also has this theme. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Melech of Eretz Yisrael, and all of Eretz Yisrael is Palton Shel Melech. So that's what he has on this Pasuk also, that the Ikar Mokom of Shmiras HaMitzvahs is really an Eretz Yisrael. That's what he suggests, that the Ovis Kodesh Matan Torah, where Kim or Kodesh Torah Kula, he suggests maybe it was only an Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they didn't observe a chukbar. Because the Ikam Mokam Shmiras HaMitzvah is really only an Eretz Yisrael. Parshas Kedoshim, every two words is another din. There's a lot here. There's a din of Nekoma and Netira. Rashi quotes from the Gemara Yuma what it means. So the Gemara says in Yuma that the prohibition of Nekoma only applies, interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Yuma that it only applies when it comes to Mammonis. I said, Hashileini Kadomcho, and you said, I'm not going to lend you, I'm not going to do you any favor. And then later on, you ask me back for a favor, and I'm not going to do this, I'm going to give you back your disfavor. I'm not going to do you a favor because you didn't do a favor for me. On the Tira, I will give you the favor, despite the fact you didn't do me a favor I mentioned. But let's say somebody was Nevada me, not some, he didn't do me. I asked him for a moment as big a favor. A guy beat me up. So then the Gemara says it's permitted to take the comment. Now someone was Nevada me in public. So then the Gemara says it's permitted. Whenever there's Tari the Gufo, there's no Easter of Nikoma. I wish they think Gemara. The Chafetz Chaim had a discussion on this topic in the Sefer Chafetz Chaim. How come most of the Rishonim don't quote that Gemara? The Rambam and the Smag and the Smak and the Sefer Achinach and a lot of Rishonim, they all quote in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know where you have the Dinam of Leisikim or Leisikah. I don't know where it's quoted in the Dalet Chalke Shulchan Aruch. But in the Rishonim who already do quote it, says, they already quoted it, the Rambam quotes it and the others quote it, so how come they don't quote this condition that the Gemara made, that it's only in Inyoni Momin, but in Bidyoni de Gufa and Sarah de Gufa not? He claims the dog Gemara Faket, maybe they'll be on Pascha like that Gemara, that's the question. But usually there is a Gemara that called Tamachachim Shein and Rekim and Oti Kenocha Shein and Tamachachim. The Gemara says that in order to be a bona fide Tamachachim, you can't always be a goody-goody. Sometimes you have to be a meanie-meanie. You have to be Rekim and Oti Kenocha. Some people who are very great, unusual Tamachachim, they're very much Rekim and Oti, they exaggerate their greatness. So the question is, what do you mean that I can take an office? But the Hanisa, so the belt usually says it means that such a case, if somebody was Mavad to him or someone that gave him Sari the Gufa, there's no East in the comment, so then he should not be Moichel, he should be Naikim and I take an office, shall have covered at Torah. Still difficult, so very difficult. So the belt usually says Pshat, that's how they usually say. Noitim, I think it says in a few spawn like that. Naikim and I take Kinochash, what's the significance of Kinochash? Because the Medrash says that the kap to call a chai is eitzel al nochash, and he asks the snake, maha no yesh lecho. Why do you kill human beings? The Gemara says, but ofa techo kol yimecha yecha, whatever the snake eats, tastes the same. So what does he eat human beings for? To eat the offer. By people who have taste buds, they eat ice cream, it's delicious, eat potato chips, pretzels, whatever, steaks, that makes a difference whether you eat stale bread and water, or eat something that's delicious and very tasty. But the Nochas, everything tastes like offer, whatever, that was part of his curse. Offer, tefel, kain, mechayecha, whatever he eats tastes like Nochas. Tastes like offer. So, ma'a no yesh lecha mizeh. So too, the Gemara says in Erechin, in the Sugya of Lashon Hara, so too, the Baal Lashon Hara is just like the Nochas. Ma'a no, what hano does he get from telling Lashon Hara about other people? What is he gaining something out of it? It's ridiculous, doesn't gain anything. That's why we always compare the Baal Lashon Hara, the Mesapa Lashon Hara, to the Nochash. So the Belt says that that's the Pshat. The Talmud Chacham has to be a Noikim and Noitek in Nochash. He has to stick up a Kavod HaTorah and take Nekoma from people, but it has to be like a Nochash, so he shouldn't get any personal Hanoah from it. Usually, when people take Nekoma, they have tremendous Hanoah. It doesn't make any sense why, logically, what Hanoah should I get from taking Nekoma? But still, the Maisa, it's a tremendous psychological Hanoah. So that's how the Belt is. The only time the Gemara says, the Tamachachim should be noikim and noite out of Kavod HaTorah is if he's doing it kinochash. If he does it like kinochash, that he doesn't really mahano yeshlo, he doesn't really get any hano out of it. The Gemara in Sanhedrin has a comment on the Pasuk in Parshas Kedoshim, a strange drosha, the Pasuk is not strange. As chukosai tishmeru behemet pachol os abiyah kilayim, sot chol os izu kilayim, veges kilayim shatnas lo yalda olecho. So the Gemara says on this expression in Sanhedrin, here the Torah Tzmima just quotes it from Kiddush and Lamed Tes. Okay, same thing. In Sanhedrin also round up Nun Tes, Nun Tes or so. As Kukoisai Tishmairu. So the Gemara darshins, the expression means Kukim Shokha Kakti Lachokvar. you should keep the mitzvahs that I have given a long time ago. What's exactly the mashmos? I don't know. What it means is that the iser of harboat behemoth and planting harkovas ilonis was already given to Bnei Noach. That you shouldn't think that there are only seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, there's more. There are only seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach that the chayv nisiv, they violate, but there are more than seven mitzvahs on the additional isurim that the Bnei Noach amuzer, they won't get the Yoinish mitzvah. The Raman Patsim is like that. People don't remember it. The Shach and Yeridei quotes that the Raman Patsim is like that. Mefurish and Rambam. In the Gemara, it's the Machlekes Tanoim and the Machlekes Amaran. Usually you walk away thinking, everybody knows seven mitzvahs Bnei Noach, and the rest don't count. We don't hold like that. So it's not true. The Shach points out that the Rambam does pass him like this. Gemara has about this also. That Sirus is forbidden. According to this Tana, Sirus is forbidden for Bnei Noach. To castrate an animal is also for Bnei Noach. So if I have a dog and I want to castrate the dog or any animal, I bring it to a Jewish or a non-Jewish veterinarian, that's a lifneva, l'sikim yoshol. Because the Bnei Noach are just as Muslim as the Jews. And the Gemara says that if you did it, if you brought it to a Goyish veterinarian to castrate the animal, the Gemara says it's a knasman de rabbanon that you have to get rid of the animal. And you get rid of the animal, the Gemara says, doesn't mean you make a shtar mechira and sell it to the Goy and you leave it on your farm. The Gemara says, even if you give it to your son, there's no good. You got to get rid of it. Someone else, you have to sell it. You can sell it, but you have to sell it to somebody else and not leave it on your farm. You're not yet to the knas by haram. Yes, the Gemara says that there's no, the Gemara in Chulin learns that from a person at the end of Kol HaBasar. But even though one might have thought that maybe you should be asked to eat it because of a self-called tayeb, kol shati after b'cha harev b'al toichal, there's more learned that from a person that it's not so. That's capons. We eat chickens, but they're capons, they're all castrated. Tosafot points out that they ate those chickens. If you would be forbidden to eat it, so half the chickens in the world would be asked, they're castrated in order that it should be fatter, I think. In order that it should be fatter. The pasuk by cutting off the pay is has a shinui lashon. There's lo takifu piasa roshchem piasa. Lo tashchis there's piasa tanach. Lo takifu lashon rabim. Lo tashchis lashon yochid. Is there any significance to the fact that it's witches in the middle? The Gemara doesn't draw any conclusions from this. The Gemara doesn't point it out. You have to understand why witches. The Mefarsh Machomish work hard to try to understand all the stukim. How do you switch in midstream over here from singular to plural? This passage is not as difficult as that. It's not the hemshach of the same, but it's still the mepharshim discuss. Why does it say lo takifu? Why does it say lo tashchis loshen yochid? Because the Mishnah has a commentary not only on the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah, the Kesef Mishnah has a commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvot also. He has a few comments on the Raivit, there are Hatogas HaRaivit on the Sefer HaMitzvot. It's printed in the beginning of the Mishnah Torah. A few Hatogas HaRaivit. So there's a Hatogas HaRaivit, when the Rambam counts this, he counts, you're not allowed to shave off the Pasa Roshes over here. And I'll let it cut off the Pasa Zokan over here. The Rambam happens to hold that just like it's only also with a razor over here, whatever is mutter to use over here is mutter to use over here too. That's the Rambam sheet. And Tosfos, and he has a Tosefta. Says Mefurish. The Rambam has a Tosefta. And Tosfos in Nazir, the Sugi is really a Nazir. It's a little bit of Makkas, the end of Makkas, and a lot of it is in the middle of Nazir. So the Nazir has to shave off his beard. The Nazir doesn't have to shave off the hair. But the Nazir, while he's a Nazir, he's not allowed to cut off his hair. If he wants, he can be clean shaved. And after the Naziris is up, he has to shave off all the hair, but he doesn't have to shave off the beard. The beard is not included in the Naziris. Only Kidash is Rosho, only the head. And the Mitzorah, when the Mitzorah shaves off his hair, he has to shave off all the hair, even the beard as well. So the Gemara Nazir discusses a little bit about the prohibitions of shaving off. Pasa Rosh and Pasa Zot. In the Babli, Tosafot points out in Talmud Babli, it's kimat black and white the Seirish, that there is a difference between the Pasa Rosh and Pasa Zot. And the Pasa Zot is on the bottom part, It's only also to shave off with a razor. But if you use something other than a razor, it would be mutter. And the Paras HaRosh, the simple reading of the Babli, is that that's an Issa Deraisa, to cut it off even not with a tar. And the Rambam passes like the Tosefta. The Tosefta says, what do you do with the Tosefta? Which is a halal. So the Rambam quotes in the Minyan HaMitzvah, he quotes the Din of Paras HaRosh, and there's a mitzvah, Paras HaZochem, and there's a Hastokas HaRaitan on this Rambam. We don't know exactly what he's driving at. The Rabbi writes, Lavla makif, lavla nikaf, lavla mashchiz, v'lola nishchas. That's the way it says in the old reading. So the Kesef Mishnah understood the Raivet that is mastic. The Raivet made his own drush over here. That how does the Gemara know that if there's a Jewish barber who's giving a Jewish customer a haircut and he shaves off everything, how do you know that they're both over on the Yitzhak? Because it says, Lashon Rabban loisa kifu. Echad amakif, echad anikif. They're both over on the Yitzhak. But that drush only applies to loisa kifu. But by Hashkafus Pas HaZakan, it only says loisa shchis. Singular. So that's how they get the Mishnah had the gears and the rises. That's why it's printed by us. That's the gears that we have in the rises. Lav la mashchis velo la nishchas. The nishchas does not have a lav, only the mashchis. Only the mashchis. That's the question, is that what it means? The poshets or the poshets or the kesef Mishnah says that it's wrong, because it's the perish of the sefta, I think, that says that since Lo Takifu is written in plural and it goes on the makif and the nikif, so the same drash applies to a Paras HaZochen, even though there it happens to be written in singular, hukshu adodi, it's in one pasuk, they make a hekesh. So the double isa applies both to Paras HaRosh and Paras HaZochen. If that's what the rabbi is driving at, he's dead wrong against the Mufurish Tosef. The other is the Rabbi read the rabbi differently. There are two gears in the rabbi. Rabbi read the rabbi differently. That's not the Hasoga. The rabbi is Hasoga. If that's the Hasoga, what does that do? What did the Rambam? Rambam is in it. The Rambam didn't say anything. Why is the Raivet Masik on the Rambam in the Minyan HaMitzvah? He doesn't say anything. He doesn't take a stand on this. He doesn't say one way or the other. So what is he picking on him for? The Rabbi understood the Raivet is saying a different Hasoga. That the Rambam counts one Issa by cutting off Paras HaRosh and one Issa by cutting off Paras HaZochem. And the Raivet was Masik. You should have counted four. Two by the Paras HaRosh and two by the Paras HaZochem. She can't Lav La Makif, Lav La Nikaf, Lav La Mashchis. Lav la nishchas, not lo la nishchas. Lav la mashchis, lav la nishchas. You should have counted it as four lavin. And the Rambam holds, no, you only counted as one. That's the question. So the Rambam takes off from there. And the Shulam HaNozi takes off from there. And what's the state of Machloikis? So what are they fighting about? Whether it should be counted as one lav, it counts as two lav. And he makes a holy shitasa with the Rambam and arrive it. And Hilchos Avodah Zarah about cutting off payas. Chiyogur itcha ger be'artzachem, lo sonu osam. You're not allowed to be mean to a ger. An itcha I know is the word. And a chutzlot you are allowed to. Chiyogur itcha ger be'artzachem. The chutzlot is not from the chodesh karka. So maybe the pshat is you can only be mekabel a ger in Eretz Yisrael. Can't be mekabel ger a chutzlot. We do it all the time. Ma'ay from the chodesh. So mekabel ger a chutzlot also. What does it mean be'artzachem? So the Gemara in Yevamos on Daphne and Vav has a whole discussion of this. Vav, Memzai, the Gemara has a discussion. Why does it say Nechumish B'Yartzachem? What is it driving at? A complicated Gemara there. What exactly are you learning out from this Liyut? B'Yartzachem, Krat L'chut Vav. I remember my father-in-law was very sick. He was dying in the hospital 13 years ago. So there was a Jewish doctor who was dying, so there was nothing they could do for him. This time, every doctor walked by, he walked in, said hello, whatever. So the children were nervous. Maybe the doctor should do something, so they would pull in a doctor. So the doctor comes in, so he says, everybody has to leave. Then he looks at me, he says, are you a son? I said, no, I'm a son-in-law. He says, you can stay. I know what he was talking about. Then he had to take off the blanket. He had to take off the sheets. So he said, the pasuk in the Chumash, So he thought that it means that the children are not allowed to stand there when the father's body is being uncovered. So the son-in-law is allowed to. That's not the pshat in the pasuk. It's a nice idea. I mean, we should keep it out. The Gemara says you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMerchus with a parent, with a father-in-law also. So you're not allowed to go in Beis HaMerchus. It's not a Gemara in Sochem. You're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMerchatz with the father or with the father-in-law. Not. It's not keep it out, fine. But that's not the pshat in the pasuk. Lo segalu arvosko means ma'isa tashmish, means ma'isa znus. It's a losh and a kiyah. The Torah doesn't want to say explicitly. Because lo segalu arvosko. The Hiv Daltem, the Chumash at the end of Kiddushin has the Hiv Daltem Ben Abeima HaTohor LaTmei Abeima HaTomi LaTohor. What is this? It's a mitzvah Havdolah, the Hiv Daltem. So the Rambam counts this as a separate mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Livdok B'Simoni Beheima Chaya V'Yoyz. Livdok B'Simoni. What do you mean? Every time you shech the cow, you have to check to see that it's Malagir, Maf is Tarsom. Every time you want to eat tuna fish, you have to check to see if it has snapper, the kaskesis. The shochtim, the biggest tzaddikim who are shochtim, they don't check every time to see that the cow has littles. So what does the pasuk mean? So the daki tshuva on yeriday, right? If you have a tzvi sign, you know that it's a cow. Well, I know that a cow has malagir mafis parsa. There may be a cow that doesn't have mafis parsa malagir. It doesn't make a difference. It's going to be kosher anyway. If I have a tvia sign that this is a tuna fish, I know what the min is. By hook or by crook, if I know that this is a tuna fish and this is a chicken, and this, I don't have to go check for anything more. That's it. There's no mitzvah lived at b'simon. The mitzvah lived at b'simon only goes if I don't know what the min is. So then the Torah tells me, don't just go basaroy, even though, despite the fact that we have a din, that has been a basarubin. And let's say I know that rove of the birds are kosher. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Gemara that the Torah only singles out the non-kosher birds because rove of the birds are kosher. So what is the Gemara say? You have to have a masorah in order to eat oaf. Oaf is only nechob a masorah. You have to have a masorah in order to know, is this a kosher bird, a non-kosher bird? That's why we hardly eat any birds. Just eat chickens and that's about all. Some eat turkeys, some don't eat turkeys. And not too many more ducks. We have a tradition that ducks are kosher. So the Gemara says that rove of the birds are kosher. It's a mute. The Torah only singles out the mute. So why not go about the roi? So the answer is no. The Torah says the hiv daltem. You have to be, if you can't identify the animal, the behemah chai v'yayis, or the dog, then you have to be poedic to see money. But if you can identify it, you know what it is. And there's no din of havdol. The mitzvah havdol tells you not to go about the roi. But even though it tells you not to go about the roi, the rivosh has a tshuva, which are Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes, and we discuss is it depends what kind of a rive is it. It means if it's a rive of 75%, a rive of 85%, what if you have a rive of 99.999%? Then the Torah still tells me that you don't go bust a rive. The Pashto says you certainly do go bust a rive. Let's say if I have a tuna fish factory, and I know that the Goyim HaMakbid have a tuna fish factory in wherever it is, in China. And I know that the Goyim HaMakbid for business purposes not to put in any other fish other than tuna fish. And once out of every million fish, there's going to be a trace of fish. Are you going to tell me that that's what the pasuk says, the Hiv Daltem? That there's a din, you don't go about the rest. So the Ribosh, you may tell me that, but the Ribosh says not so. The Ribosh says that if it's such a rube, the rube is such a good rive, Samir Chena Matsui. But then the Torah is not applying that. Mitzvos Havdol, lived at the Smart Behem Chai V'yayf means to ignore a regular rive. You're not allowed to follow a normal rive. Kolatar kula, 51% rive is also good. So the Torah says you're not allowed to follow such rive. But if you have such a, even 80% rive, also not. But the Ribosh says, but if you have a 99.99% rive, that also he's masking that there's no longer any mitzvah saldom. In the Mishnah Megillah, there's the Machlekes of Lezer Nachachamim about what Hafere you read here. The Parshas Hafemeis and Kedoshim, you can read a Hafere that speaks about the Bnei Yisrael violating these Averes. So the Hafere of Hafemeis and the Hafere of Kedoshim both speak about violations of Averes. So one Tana Rav Lezer says that you're not permitted to recite the Bizman HaTanoim, Bizman HaMishnah. Whoever got master could pick out whatever section from another he wants to lay. There was no chok kavua. You pick out whatever he wants to read. It's a minimum number of psukim. It has to have the similar theme or related thing to the kriyas hafer. But he could pick out whatever he wants. Rav Lezer says you're not allowed to pick out a certain hafer in Yecheskel. Hodayis Yerushalayim is Toivis Yerushalayim. And the Chachamim disagree. So that, l'chor, seems to be the hafer that we have printed in the Chumash somehow it printed Tachrei Moi, somehow it printed. There's a big confusion over here over this issue. That's one of the Haftaras that's printed. So Hodaito is Hashishpot Hashishpot Asir Adamim, where Hodaito is called Toyav Yisera. As the Baruch Hu tells Yechestel Anav Benavui, he should go give Mutzer to the Jews who are living in Yerushalayim. Asir Adamim, the city, the bloody city, where they're in touch, they're in violation of murder and all the Gilead riots and everything under the sun, and Nus, and Zela, and all the others. But the simple reading of the Mishnah is that that's the Haftar that Rav Lezer holds in our letter read, and we pass him that you may read it. The Gemara quotes a story that once a Balabas got mapped in Rav Lezer's shul, and he read that Haftar, and Rav Lezer got angry, so he says, Ashat Abari B'Tavis Yerushalayim, instead of checking into other people's Tavis, Tadot B'Tavis Imecha, check into Yerom Pir, and then the I think it's an obvious Rav Nosson, and Masechus Sofim. Masechus Sofim continues, what Vacher of a Matzah Shehu Mamzer? He checked out and he found out he was Taka Mamzer. Rav Lezer was so angry why he went. So the Pashto says, we don't pass like Rav Lezer. So he may say the Haftarah. But the minig has, the minig was for many years that you always avoid reading that Haftarah. So whenever you have Achrei Moed Kedoshim together, so they're different in hugging, whether you read the Haftarah, the first Pasha, the second Pasha, how many is Avodram quotes the Minhog? That means obviously we say the Haftarah from the second parasha. Here we always say, we always avoid saying that Haftarah. And then sometimes it's Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, you say Hashemayim Kisi, sometimes it's Erev Rosh Chodesh, you say Machu Chodesh, you always avoid saying the Haftarah. Once in a long while where there's no terror, how to get out of it, so then there was still a minig. Rav Soloveitchik said over that he remembered in Lithuania there was a minig, and he printed this in his collection of drashot that's called Hashkofa. And one of the drushes there, he said that he remembered in Europe that the meaning was that they would say the same Haftarah 2 weeks in a row, just in order not to say the Haftarah of Tevis Yerushalayim. The Lavush says that the whole thing is a mistake. He says, this is not the Haftarah that Rav Lezer said you're not allowed to read. That's why it says in the Chidurim, in the little set, is according to the Lavush, you can say this and that. There's a big confusion there. So the Lavush says that there's no problem with this Haftarah. This is not the one. The Iker Kfeder that Rav Lezer had against reading the Haftarah was that a different parak in Yechezkel that sounds similar nearby, and it's a parak or two before or after this, it's similar but it's not identical. There's nothing wrong with reading the Haftarah that speaks about Tevis Yerushalayim. Rav Lezer had it against the Haftarah where the Navi is complaining to the Jewish people, your father was a good for nothing and your mother was a good for nothing, and that's referring to Avraham and Sarah. So that we shouldn't say. The Baruch Shalom told the Yechezkel Hanavi to give such an avuah, to complain to Bnei Yisrael, you're rotten and your parents are rotten and your grandparents are rotten, it's no good, all the way back from Avraham Yitzchak. So that we shouldn't read in public. You read it, it's a Navi and Yechezkel, you read it. But that's not the Haftarah that we, that's printed in our Kumash. The one that we have just had Tochach against Yerushalayim. So that the Levush held, there was nothing wrong. Now, so basically, all these Yom HaTzmud, Yom Yerushalayim time, he always used to refer to this Mishnah in Gemara in Megillah and say that even though the din is not like Rav Lezer, but the meaning was like Rav Lezer, that you're not allowed to say bad about Eretz Yisrael. There are terrible things going on. There's Gilui Arayos, there's Shvi'at Hazon, there's Gzela, everything under the sun going on in the days of the Nevi'im. if you want to scream in order to accomplish, good. He used to do that at the Mizrahi conventions. Every time he used to speak every year at the Mizrahi conventions, he used to give tochacha, they have to do, they have to straighten this out, they have to straighten that out. He used to be very strong about it. He said he's going to make a cherem on the zim lines in the alal. He's going to answer the talmidim and the balabatim from going to Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to not give any support anymore, we're not going to buy any Israeli bonds. He was very forceful about it. I remember the drushas were always given in Yiddish, and then he always used to, before he was started in Russia, they would introduce the Israeli ambassador would be there, or the representative of the United Nations. There would always be some high official of the Israeli government would be there, when Rav Soloveitchik would speak, even as Erez Mechuvah most of the time. They would have some, they weren't always religious, but they'd always have some representative from the Israeli government would be there, and they would always mention it before the drusha that he was there. The drusha was always in Yiddish, and Rav Soloveitchik was screaming about terrible things happening in Medina. So he said, Ba'achshav ani atargem li'ivrit, תחזור למדינה ותגיד לראש הממשלה. He would say it over in Hebrew, make sure, they would make headlines in Israeli newspapers that he said that the missionary activities and about the trade for both that they were going to have and Chilul Shabbos and all the terrible things. Yes, so if you have to complain in order to accomplish, that you have to do, but just to complain and to walk away and to explain, that's why we don't like Zionism, because they're all terrible. So he said, that's like Rav Lezer says, Eim Haftir Mitayim Et Yerushalayim. He said, even though we don't pass Makar Blazer, but the minhag always was that we avoid that after.